Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of you. We welcome you to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. Thank you for being here and being a part of this wonderful, great program about faith, where we are studying the greatest book on faith, the Bible, from the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. And the answer to all of our faith is speak to the mountain.
Amen.
Tell that mountain to be removed. Jesus, you know, said all through his ministry, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Some people sidestep every single day, and they just say, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll bring it to me. And that's just not God. God wanted every one of them people to have it in every place he ever went. And Jesus looked at him and said, according to your faith, so it will be unto you. And so we're doing our best to teach that doctrine right here and help people be established in faith. The book of John says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then you got to take the Bible and make it personal and say, this is the victory that overcomes the world, my faith. Because every bit of this is a personal relationship between you and God. And we welcome you. Hebrews 11:6 says that he, God, is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so that's what this program is all about. We are determined to live by faith, to walk by faith, and to teach faith. And most of all, be an example of faith.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Just say it with me. I want to be an example of faith to my community, wherever you are. Wherever you are. Good evening, Brother Roger, Brother Richard, Sister Sunday, and all the rest of you over there on YouTube. It's good. It's good, good, good to have you all with us and be a part of what's happening today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, we want to say this again because it's important for people to understand this. The apps have changed again recently. So if you are experiencing a little bit of trouble connecting with our programs, I encourage you to check out your apps and make sure everything's up to date. Sometimes you may have to go into YouTube, unsubscribe, and then right while you're on the page, subscribe again. And that can open back up notifications that you might, you know, if you're not seeming to get the notifications from YouTube. And, you know, and then you might, when you first started your YouTube channel, you may not have thought much about notifications, or you might not have wanted them. So go in and check your settings on your notifications, because there's sometimes when the video comes on, they make it private, and I don't know why. And according to the guys that are on YouTube, they don't know why. But it seems that all of you who are a subscriber, even when that video is private, you still have the ability to see that video. So we encourage you to make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell on all of our information. We are on Facebook. We have a channel called San Jose Cattle Community of Faith. And we have a Rumble channel. And we have Blog Talk Radio. And we welcome you to be connected to each of them. I'm just making the statements because as they have to change things and improve and develop their platform, that means you and I have to change and develop and add, learn how to make things work. That's just how it is. And so we welcome you tonight. Now, this is January 3rd, and we've started right in on our understanding of where it is that God is taking us this year. Our theme for this year is 2024, the year of the open door and the abundance of more. Now, God's going to continually open this up to us as we study it this year, and he's going to bring great revelation to us so that we can change our part of the body of Christ with the message he's given for you and I to speak. And so we just encourage you to seek the Lord every day. Just take that theme and say, what is the open door and the abundance of more that you want to have for me in my life this year? And then be willing to step out in faith. Be willing to just go where God wants you to go. Let's see if I can say this right. Don't ever say, I can't do that, because he gives to everyone according to their several ability. And he's the one that put the ability on the inside of you. So now you and I got to look at it and say, well, what is it you put on the inside of me? Now, Lord, help me bring that to life in my life so that I can in the favor and the blessing of Almighty God, because he has so much in store for every one of us. And, 3 John declares, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, that's a very major goal for many people right there, is just that their soul could prosper and that you could actually live in health and that you would have an abundance of prosperity in your own personal life. God's not honored with broke. I like how Dr. Barclay always says it. There is nothing good in poverty. And these people say they take a poverty oath. Why in the world would you do such a thing that's going to cause you great, great problems? Because there's no way we're going to preach the gospel around the world if we all have a poverty oath. Well, Pastor, we just have to pray and God will send somebody over there to those people. God can't send anybody on an airplane unless somebody's got money for an airplane ticket. And the same way when it was a ship. And, the same way when they had to build a canoe that could float across the Atlantic. Okay, that didn't happen. But the idea is It takes money. And so he above, I mean, John said it. Above all things, that you prosper and that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. We look at Luke chapter 4, and Jesus said, this first thing he said, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. What was the good news? You don't have to be poor anymore. And of course, the Jewish people, he came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came to his own. And the Jewish people were the ones that God gave the commanded promise, I will bless absolutely everything you put your hand to. You'll be blessed in the city and in the field. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your body and the increase of your herd. He said, I'm going to bless your basket and your kneading bowl. That means your food. He's going to bless your food. And then he said he was going to set us high above every nation of the world. Well, the problem that we face is that people don't understand who God is. And then they just want to do a religious thing. The Spirit of God said this to me this fall as I have been studying this message and this thought. Stop all distractions at the door. Run like you have never run before. It's good. Get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure. This is our theme for the year. Stop all distractions at the door. Run like you have never run before. Get up and dance on the dance floor, because victory is yours for sure. Think about what God said. Praise him in the dance. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. If God blessed abundantly every part of your life, and you felt completely strong, healthy, fit in your body all year long with no pain, would that make you happy? Would you finally say something about it? Yeah. Every time you went to your checkbook, there was just an abundance of finances, and you always had plenty to bless anybody, do anything. All your debts were paid, and you owed nobody anything but to love them, and you still had a bank account full of money. Would that make you happy?
That would make me very happy.
Now, see, that's why he said, get up and dance on the dance floor. He's not telling you to go to the bar. He's telling you to get up and dance. Because victory is yours for sure. Think of it this way. It's sad that this is the only way people think of it. But what if somebody walked through the door today and gave you a winning ticket that said you had just won the lottery? Now, I don't like using this this illustration, but I took the lottery this week. The last time I walked by the machine was $845 million. What would you do if somebody handed you that and you got that much? You're not going to stand there and say, well, go away. You're going to be pitching a fit. You're going to be, woo! You're going to be, yeah! You're going to be, woo! And you're going to call some people. You ain't going to believe what just happened. See, he says about this year, get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure. Think about it. A guaranteed year of victory. a guaranteed year of victory. Now that ought to make you shout. And if it don't make you shout, well, then get your shouter fixed, because God's blessing is going to be on you this year. Well, here we go. Let's get ourselves started. And I actually got prepared tonight and have some of my confession list here where I can get to it. So let's share the screen and we'll get started. You know how it is around here? We have been very well trained that according to your faith, so be it unto you. And your faith will always be seen by what it is that you are speaking. And so we encourage you to speak this word right out loud where you are tonight. The only person that's important to hear this word spoken is you and God. Remember in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Well, if you're not confessing and speaking a word out, then what is Jesus going to high priest? Did you hear that? That was silence. And that's what Jesus looks at some people and says, I'm in the unemployment line. Give me a job. That's pretty cool. I heard Brother Jesse the Planist talking about his theme for this year. His theme for this year is give God a job. And of course, that's going to stretch a whole lot of people. God's got a job. He's taking care of the universe. Who does he think he is? No, no. The Bible says, command ye me. God said to the people, command ye me about the work of my hand. And you think about three words just one. He looked at them people and said, I would be made whole. I want my eyesight. I want to walk. I'm alive. Have mercy on me, Jesus. And then the Syrophoenician woman came. And what did she say? My daughter's at home on the bed, troubled by a demon. And Jesus said, go and be made whole. And then the people, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, these people have been following us for days. They're hungry. We got to send them home. And he said to them, well, don't send them home. Just feed them. And they all went home except Andrew. Remember that? Andrew said, oh, we got some fish and loaves here. You used that last time. And Jesus said, good job, Andrew. If you didn't know it, Andrew was Peter's brother. So even though Peter was sort of the leader, Andrew stepped up that day and said, look here, Jesus, we got these fishes and loaves. Jesus said, that'll be more than enough. Father, bless this. Are you ready for this? I heard somebody explaining the other day that there was 5,000 men, and more than likely, there was 5,000 women, because most of those men would have a wife. Mm-hmm. And most of those 5,000 men that had a wife also is going to have one or six kids. And so that crowd could have been as high as 25,000 people. One guy said 40,000. I was listening to Brother Jerry Spell preach the other day, and he said, and then, you know, there's a whole lot of people just standing around the edges. Can you imagine a crowd of 25,000 people walking through a city listening to Jesus? When's the last time you saw 25,000 people anywhere? I mean, when we get them in a Coliseum, we're like, well, all right, yeah, but they're in a Coliseum. Picture that out on the seashore. When was the last time you saw 25,000 people on the shore by the sea? That's what Jesus was doing. And he fed them all, and he blessed them. Well, I've gone to preaching, and we didn't even pray the opening prayer yet. Is that all right? Do you skip prayer, or do you pray it? Amen. You do. No, I got it. Here we go. Join us. We always like to say the pledges when we get started, because this is why America doesn't love America anymore, is because we have failed to teach our children the importance of the United States of America. When I was in school, we started every class with the Pledge of Allegiance. Here we go. I like to stand. Join me if you can. If you're driving down the road, please do not stand. Unless, of course, you have a sunroof. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And now the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have our opening prayer. Pray this prayer with us today. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. Man, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. It's a law. I mean, that's Genesis chapter 8. As long as the earth remains. That's a long time. And there's only one way this earth is going to be destroyed, and that's when God burns it up with fire. So until then, the law of seed time and harvest is the number one law that's on the effect of the whole earth. Of the whole earth. You sow to yourself righteousness, you reap the Spirit of God. You sow to yourself violence, you're going to reap that, and you're not going to like it. Here we go. I sow my time, talent, and treasure into the kingdom today. Mark 10, 28 through 30. Peter said to Jesus, see, we left all and followed you. Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, everyone who leaves house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, you shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, income and salary with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. I receive the 100-fold of all my life and faith for the kingdom that is laid up in harvest form in heaven. I put it to work on earth to preach the gospel and save lives around the world. The commanded blessing of unity. We've been on this verse since the very day that we came here. You know, there's a lot of organizations that gather many people. There is no blessing in God for gathering many people. There's a blessing when you dwell together in unity and get something done for him. There's a lot of places where there's a lot of people gathered together and they're not getting anything done. They've created a big club. They've built a big building. They have beautiful grounds. People show up and buy better chairs and a better camera and put up a bigger screen. And there are some people that find in Jesus. But the commanded blessing of unity is we dwell together in unity and get the mission accomplished that he sent us for on the earth. Let's read this together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us, brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. We have the keys of the kingdom. Jesus, we proclaim, you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I love these verses. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. Now say it right out loud. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare all across this whole world that we know, everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Clicked the wrong button. It's all right. Just give me a second. There we go. Let's click the right button here. It's amazing how fast that all just goes right away.
It doesn't ask for a second thought.
Did you really mean to click that button? It didn't ask me that. And, you know, I would have been fine by it if it had. There we go. I was praying. Where was we at? Father, in Jesus' name, we reach up into the community of faith around the world and we declare one body, one spirit, just as we're called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all
and in us all.
Jesus, the world don't see this. We got the Baptists over here. We got the Methodists over there. We got the Pentecostals over here. We got the Catholics over here. Help us, Lord, in the body of Christ to come together right now, every day. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Help us, Jesus, that we that we will speak it and we'll live it and we'll love it and we'll embrace anyone from any denomination that's out there doing the work, and we'll help people see there's only one Lord. And if we'll listen to him, we'll all look exactly alike, because he is only him and he is nobody else but him. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. Some people don't like it if you don't say in Jesus' name, amen. But when you live a life of prayer, you don't say in Jesus' name, amen, every time you talk to God. The one truck stop where I go and buy fuel, we've got a Jack Chick track Christian. And I don't know about the women's bathroom because I don't ever go in there. I'm a man and all man. I'm not confused. But anyways, you walk in the men's bathroom and there'll be about 20 of those things. They're by every mirror. They're on top of each one of the air dryers. They're on each urinal. They're in each stall. They're a stack of them on the, there's one little shelf there. They put a stack of them there. And somebody's determined to put them out and get those in front of people so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see some of them in the trash. But I went to the Jack Chick website, and they have literally given out 1 billion of those things.
That's awesome.
1 billion of them. The Jack Chick, oh,
yeah.
Really? This is the button I was trying to hit a minute ago. The video. It's a little track. It's about this big. It's like a little comic book, about that big, and just tells a little story of the gospel in a comic form with a little drawn picture and a little thought box above it. And it tells the gospel of Jesus Christ from many different angles. And it always has the prayer of salvation. And I who knows, there's probably been millions of people that have been born again around the world because of those Jack Chick. And he was an amazing man of God who was a cartoonist. And he liked to draw pictures. And he liked to draw cartoons. And he had, actually had people say, you'll never amount to anything drawing those cartoons. And now, 1 billion of them have been given away through everything that he set up. And once they got going, they really started back in the 70s in the Jesus movement. They had one that was real famous called This Was Your Life. And it was the story of the rich man who heaped up all the stuff, and then he died and said, now where will all your stuff go? And it's like, this is your life. And millions of people have been saved by these. But thank God for that. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Amen? Because somebody's reaching out. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And we thank God for it. Well, I'm preaching the confession, and I don't need to do that. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every victim of terrorism, every child that's been aborted, cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert justice and have no regard for life. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of the nations of the world. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. And I really like it when we do these two slides. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Preamble to the Constitution. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And then, Patriot Prayer. Wait, let's get this one in. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain.
We declare this nation
under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. You know, when God gave me that assignment to say those confessions, a long time ago, right? Wow, this is 2023, probably 20 years ago, I started making a confession like this at church. I've had a lot of people say, what's up with all of this confession, Pastor? But you know, since Jesus is the high priest of our confession, we've got to be making one in order for that to come to pass. And so I went to him then and I'm like, what are you going to, you're the high priest of the confession and you're telling me to say these statements. Then, you know, somehow you got to help me see this picture of this. But you know, this is what we learn. Whoops, I'm in the dark here. This is what we've learned about this. God is going to give us a mission. As a leader in the kingdom, a voice of faith, he gives us a mission and then says, go get it accomplished. And that mission will never change. He might add more to it. But the mission will always be the same. Why? It's what he designed you for. And as you fine-tune it, as you perfect it, as you say, Father, reveal to me what this is all about, then we get this great revelation on the inside, and the greater the revelation we get, the more we get accomplished for the things of God. And what happens, the longer we make these confessions, the more authority that we will wield in the realm of the Spirit if we're making it in faith. That makes sense? The more you take some weights and lift them, the more muscle you get, whatever it is, the muscles that weight is working out. If you got a dumbbell, barbell, you're going to work out your biceps and your triceps, and you're going to build muscle. Well, faith is the same way. The more we say, one Lord, one Father, one God and Father of us all, the more we say that, the more that happens in us, and the greater our ability to reach out and change our world. So I encourage you, please don't just listen to us say it. Get involved. Put some of your own faith into it, like you are saying this to a million people standing in front of us, and we were prophesying this as a prophetic utterance to them. Because that is what we are doing in the realm of the Spirit. And then, when you go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. He's taking our confession and doing something with it. Think about Moses. God said, Moses, here's your message. Go to the children of Israel and say, I'm here. God has heard your prayer. He's going to deliver you. Well, that's pretty cool. If you're a slave, been a slave for 400 years, and a guy shows up and says, you're going to be free, I mean, you know, that's going to be a really good statement to you. And then Moses' next statement that God gave him was, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Remember what this says. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Who gave Moses the words, let my people go? Jesus. Jesus was the word in heaven in the Old Testament time. But Jesus gave him those words. And then when he said them, Jesus brought the words to pass. Jesus is the one that gives you the word, like that confession we just made. That was a confession that God gave to me when we started this ministry. As we continually progress day by day, he gave me another prayer, another one of those prayers, and we added it to what we've been saying. And now you and I have been making this declaration in the realm of the spirit now for 3 years, almost every day. In the realm of the spirit, we have great authority with the Patriot Prayer of Declaration. We have great authority with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 16. We have great authority in speaking that the prayer of agreement, where two of us agree. Why? Because we're proclaiming it every single day. And it's the answer for all of our life. When we, it don't matter where you are. It don't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how you grew up. None of that stuff matters. What matters is that you are listening to God Almighty and you're praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus is the high priest of that confession. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 said he was faithful to him who appointed him. So God appointed Jesus as the high priest of our confession, and he was faithful to him. Now, Moses was faithful. And Moses literally set the children of Israel free by this statement, let my people go. And God said, go, angels, let the people go. So we encourage you, when we're making the confession, make it boldly with us in Jesus' mighty name. No, all that's free. That's not even our message for tonight. But don't worry about it. That's how we act around here all the time, because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And I'm going to tell you, every time I'm sitting in this seat, every time Sister Leanne's sitting in this seat, we're going to give Jesus something to be the high priest of. Amen? And when we get done, we're going to be able to look to heaven and say, I have spoken your word. Thank you that signs follow the word that was preached. And now we get to see things happen. Now, 2024. The year of the open door and the abundance of more. Wow, that's quite a powerful statement, isn't it? I love it. I'm excited about where it's going to take us already. Let me say a different word than excited. I am inspired by it. There you go. For those of you on YouTube, I put it right in the chat so that you can say it with me. Everybody say it together. 2024, the year of the open door and the abundance of more. 2024, open door and the abundance of more. Where in the world? Oh, there it is. There, put it in there for our Zoomers too. 2024, the year of the open door and the abundance of more. Now, let's read some verses about this so that we can get this established in our minds, what it is that God is saying to us. And you can hook up to it. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. We read it last night as God's word to all the churches. But then this is the one where God wants us to stay. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I put the wrong verse in here.
Were you sharing the screen that all of us
were in
that?
What's that?
Were you meaning to share the screen?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
That's, the screen's not shared. Because
I wasn't seeing it. Oh, no.
And that verse is not the right verse. Well, I got the right verse right here. Thank God for technology. And we're going to put it right in the notes right now. Because you got to have the right verse in the right place. Now, isn't that something? It's all right. God love the day we live. Revelation 3, 7 through 9. All right. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. To some people, that is a very alarming statement. That God knows their works. But don't let it be alarming to you. Come to the understanding that he's known your work whether you thought about it or not. All right? It's like one guy said, the moment you confess your sin is not the first time that God saw what's going on. Oh, no. Did you really? No. You can't be serious with me. Yes? Yes? He knows. He saw that sin when it happened, and he was doing his best to help you get out of it. But think about it. Look at what it says. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Now, verse number 8. Is where we got to go and where we're going to stay for a minute. It says, I know your works. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to just pop it right up there since we can so easily in the day we live. I like this. Thank God for this. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful technology that we have. Now look at this. I have set before you, whoops, verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. Have you ever felt like that was you? Where you just had just a little strength. All right? And you've kept my word and you have not denied my name. I muted my mic. Can you check my coat so it's not good? If it's dry enough.
I just turned it inside out.
Okay.
I have it on low heat.
All right. Let's go back. Think about this. Nobody knows except you and God whether or not you've kept his word. What's the word he gave to you? We teach about it all the time here. Psalm 139, when you were in your mother's womb, a book was written about you. A book. In that book was all of your days. And it's written in such a manner that God wants you to know it. There's a lot of people that says, yeah, but Pastor, do you know how close you have to get to God where you can finally start understanding things? Yeah. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. That's how close you have to get to God for him to begin to help you understand where you are in your life. As soon as you're born again, The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and the voice of another shepherd they do not follow. Voice of a stranger they do not follow. In the Israel, in the day of the shepherds, they would have a building with four walls. Didn't necessarily have a roof over it, but they had four walls tall enough that a wolf or coyote can't get in. And it would protect the sheep. And in the morning, the shepherds would wake up, and they would make their sound, their whistle, their shout, and all of their sheep would follow them out of that sheepfold to the pasture where they were leading them. But each one of the sheep knew the voice of their own shepherd. And the voice of a stranger, they would not follow. This verse says, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. You want to say it with me? I have a little strength. I have kept God's word. I have not denied his name. Now, you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I still have this one sin that's happening in my life, and I can't seem to get the best of it. Well, here's how you get the best of it. You find this verse, Revelation 3:8, and it's one of our main verses for the year, and you write this verse out, and you begin to speak it, and you begin to say, God has set before me an open door, and no one can shut it. And I have kept your word. I have not denied your name. And God's going to say, let's get through this door. To some of you, you have been so confused by religion for so long that you're looking and saying, man, I'm just glad there's somebody like you that knows what the Bible says. I just been to churches where the only thing they ever did was pray, you must be born again, and that's the only thing that's important. And then once you get that done, now we just got the born again club. No, you and I are supposed to reach into this world and find those who are lost and lonely and looking for God Almighty and help them know who Jesus is. Now, let's go down and we'll grab those verses that I was reading a minute ago, even though they weren't the ones I wanted. But it's a great follow-up of what we were saying about he knows our works. Now look at verse 20. Behold, want to read it with me? Just read it with me. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. And he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Think about it. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. Well, Pastor, I let him in. Hallelujah. We give God glory and honor and praise that you've let him in. But guess what he's still doing? He's still standing there knocking, saying, can you help me reach that person? And then you say a word to him. Can you help me reach that person? And then you say a word to him. Can you be a part of this ministry? And he sends you over here. Look at what that said. Jesus is seated on the throne by the Father, where the Father showed him, told him he was to sit. Let it sink in a little bit. Many people say, well, I just I don't know anything about what I'm supposed to do. Well, number one, find a ministry where you're supposed to be. That's not how big the building is. That's not how amazing the worship is. That's where is the place that God has designed for you to be. Some of you have a church locally you go to, and you pay your tithe there. That's good. And some of you, this is your local church, is right here. Thank you for seeing your place here and now finding that place and functioning in it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to spend a little time here now studying the Word of God about being seated together with Jesus in the heavenly places. Now, let's go down here to verse 21 is what we're looking for. Actually, 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus had everything put under his feet by the Father. The Father gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. And then look what it says. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Say this, I am the body of Christ.
I am the body of Christ.
You are the body of Christ. Now, let's go back up here to verse 20. You just have to jump in here with Paul because Paul does short sentences. If you notice, this sentence is what? This sentence is 15 through 21. This is 6 verses long. Try to diagram that sentence in your English class. Woo! You can end up with a whole bunch of dangling modifiers right there. Now, look at this. Verse 20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So who raised Jesus from the dead? The Spirit of God was on the inside of him. But Father is the one by the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And then look what it says. And when he raised him from the dead, he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The Father said to Jesus that you'll sit here on my right hand. And then he said, you're going to be far above all principality. Now that's an and, so that's a conjunction. So you can say far above all power and far above all might, far above all dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. So guys, let's ask this question. Since Jesus has all power, how much power is left over for anyone to have? There's none. He has all might. What's left over? Lucid. He has all the dominion. See, when we see this, we realize the enemy doesn't have any of this. Now, the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. Have you noticed that lately? But you and I have to look at that and say, well, if they only could hear what it is you and I, the church, are saying. Because we're functioning in Jesus has all the power. Jesus has all might. Jesus has all dominion. Jesus is the name that is named above every name, not only in this age, but also in every age to come. And you want to say it with me? And he lives in me. And he lives in me. Well, Pastor, then why am I not getting more done for him? Why do I find it difficult some days to accomplish the work he's given me to do? Well, that's real easy. Matthew chapter 13. Now look at this. This is the parable. We call it the parable of the sower, but really it's the parable of the soil. Because this, the majority of this is about the ground that it's going into. So is sown the seed. But the rest of the chapter is about the soil that seed is going into. Now look at this. Let's go down here. To verse 8. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered and said to them, "It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has," what? "Seed sown in your soil, producing 30, 60, 100-fold, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance." What is this whole chapter about but harvest? The word being sown in your life and producing a harvest in your life. That's what this whole chapter is about. So whoever has harvest happening from the word of God, to him more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Here's our God once again declaring, I want you to have abundance. I heard Dr. Winston make this statement the other day. The handprint of God is supernatural abundance. Isn't that how I said that? I think that's how.
Yeah. Too much.
Too much is the handprint of God. When you have an abundance, what do you have? More than enough. Remember what Psalm 23 says? My cup overflows or runs over. God likes it when you take your cup and then it flows over onto the table. And he says, now there, that's what I like in your life. There's many Christians who don't believe that. Many Christians are like, I don't want the abundance in my life. I don't. That's just wrong. That's greed. It's not greed. Can't get anything done unless you got something to put into the kingdom. And the answer for the kingdom to grow and develop is that you and I continually sow a seed. And we I love the verse in the Old Testament that says, the sower is going to overtake the reaper and the reaper overtake the sower. Why? Because you're sowing so much seed into the gospel ministry that all of a sudden you don't know whether that was a harvest or that was a seed, but it doesn't matter. You just keep flipping it over and over and over. And the next thing you know, the great abundance of God begins to flow in your life. Let's keep reading. Look at 13. I speak to them in parables because they do not see. Seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Remember this. Remember this about parables. Come back where you see my face. The reason Jesus spoke in parables is because in every crowd there were people that were looking for the answer. In every one of the gatherings he had, And there was also people that were just there as looky-loos. Got a big crowd. Wonder what's going on here. Who's that guy? They don't know. They're just those that are looking. Those that are saying, well, you see, something's going on here. Look at how many people are in this crowd. And, you know, if you ever seen the streets of Israel, you know, those little cities, they're not very wide. Even to this day, they're not very wide. And especially in the old city, you know, where it's been there for 2,000, 3,000 years, they're not very wide. And can you imagine 20,000 people trying to get down through there? That's why Jesus would over and over again have to get to the seashore, because that's the only way he could stand in front of the whole crowd and be able to speak to them and they could hear him. Well, Jesus says right here, it's up to you to have eyes that see. It's up to you to have ears that hear. Let's go back and let's look at this again. I want you to see this. Open your Bible up. Get it open. Quick to do like Brother Terry Myers says, get your eyes in the Word. Why? Because you got to see what this says. I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. They do not hear. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and seeing you will, and you shall not understand. Seeing you will see, but you will not perceive. Look at what it says. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. What's your heart? Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn that I would heal them. Jesus wanted everybody in every crowd to be healed. The power was manifest everywhere Jesus went for people to be able to be healed. But what was the deciding factor? The condition of their own heart. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. I've heard this before. Here we go again. What is it? That's a heart that has grown dull. That's ears that have said, I've heard this before. Another one of the preachers talking this. No, you're in danger of what you have being taken away from you. Now, God's not going to take it away. Let's look at what it says. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. That means I've got to come to an understanding of this. Thank you for being here tonight, and thank you for being a part of our program. But it's not just so you can mark another mark on your calendar and say, I went to another program with Pastor Sam. This is so that this word can get down in your heart and change your life. And you can go out and begin to help other people find out about Jesus. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And that's the person who received the seed by the wayside. What's wayside? The dirt where people walk. It's packed down. Carts went across it. It's packed down. No seed's going to grow there. Why? Seed can't get down in the ground. Verse 20, he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. You got to take the word you hear with joy and then begin to get the revelation of it. That's why you'll see around here how God works. He gives us a word, and then we're going to that word from every angle you can preach it, hear every story you can hear it, so that you can understand it and it gets down in here. That's why we say on a regular basis, get these verses, meditate in them, speak them. Why? Because that's what gets the word down in your life, and then it begins to produce a harvest. And now when the harvest comes, people can come by and reap the fruit of your tree and begin to be blessed. Verse 21, he has no root in himself, only endures for a while. Here's why you don't have root. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. What's going to happen? When you get this word and it gets down inside here and it takes root and you say, oh, yeah. In that spot of your life, the fiery darts of the enemy are going to come and come and come and come. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want that word of faith that was just sown in your heart to get some roots and begin to grow, because as soon as it gets root and begins to grow, you're now a threat to the enemy's kingdom. People have said in times gone by, man, Pastor, why does it seem you've had a lot of battle in your life? Because there's a big word in here. And it's supposed to go out there and reach a lot of people. So in order to stop that, well, you can't stop it. Say it with me. You can't stop the word. You can't stop the word. Why? Because I'm not going to stop the word. I'm going to take God's word that's down inside of my heart, and I'm going to grow it, and I'm going to develop it, and I'm going to speak it, and I'm going to stay on it. Like a bulldog on a root, pulling that thing up out of the ground. But the answer is, the greatest time you got to hold on to is when you're being tested to let go. See, God's not the one that brings the tribulation or the persecution. That's not God bringing it. That's the enemy bringing it. And then it says, when the tribulation, the persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The only reason you'll stumble is if you release your grip on it. If you hold tightly to the word of God, and like we say, I'll grab my notebook here. Get you a notebook, write some notes in it, write some verses down, and then make sure that you're meditating in those verses day and night. You will be like a tree, and you will not immediately stumble. Verse 22, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I would say that verse 22 is probably the biggest truth about the believers in our day, because there's so many cares of the world in the day that we live. Now, if you go back to that statement that God gave us, and I'm going to say it all year long, stop all distractions at the door. Run like you've never run before. Get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure. That's a prophetic word to us. It's even poetic.
It is poetic.
Was it you I was on the phone when we were saying that?
Yeah.
I was on the phone. We were on the phone talking, and those words just come out. I'm like, well, there's a statement for this year right there. Hallelujah. See, You and I got to realize this thing is a gimme. Say this. My name is Jimmy. Whatever.
I don't want
and I'll take all you give me. But see, look at guys. God has given us this victory. He's given it to us. This says the cares of the world. Well, Pastor, how do I stop the cares of the world from coming at me? You can't stop them from coming at you. What you can stop is their effect on you. How you do that? Grab you a couple verses, and then it don't matter. You stake them verses no matter what. One of our favorite verses we say here all the time, God is making all grace abound to us today, right now. Right now, God's making all grace abound. Now, let me, I don't know whether I should do this or not, but I'm going to do it. First Corinthians 15. Oh, I'm doing this again. I'm determined this verse is in 15. And where did you say it is? I've worked more diligently than all of them. I'm determined it's in 15.
Yeah, 15:10.
15:10. I want it to be right down here about 49, please. It's all right. I'll get it. Look at this. I'll go to 9. I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You remember before the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room. Remember what Peter said? Well, guys, Judas is gone, so let's pull an ecclesiastical stunt and vote somebody in to take his place. Remember what they did? They drew straws between Matthias and the other guy. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Which one of them was added to apostles by Jesus drawing straws? Nobody. So drawing straws is not a good place to be, a good way to be appointed. I am the least of the apostles. Paul was the replacement for Judas. But they voted in Matthias. It was the beginning of vote in your pastor. Or if you vote him in, guess what? You may have to vote him out. But see, that's not the way God is. Romans chapter 10 says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When God appoints you, he appoints you. And nobody can unappoint you except God. I guess the better word is disappoint you. Look what it says. Because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than all of them. Are you bragging, Paul? No. He's making a declaration. None of them traveled the world like Paul. You go look at those missionary journeys. On his feet, the man traveled 2,000 miles. On his feet. He had some weary feet, probably. Maybe he had big feet. I labored more abundantly than they all, but look what it says. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me or in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, we preached and you believed. What's the important part? Somebody preached to you and you believed. When you go back here to Matthew chapter 13 and you see what Jesus is saying about the parable, you got to realize, or the parable of the soil, You've got to take care of the cares of the world in your own life. Why? Because they're in your face. Do I need a new car? Or do I even need a car? Maybe I should just get a horse and buggy like the Amish. Wait a minute. If I get a horse, I got to buy hay. How am I going to get hay? I better buy a truck. No, I got to have a truck so I can go buy hay so I can ride my horse and buggy. Well, if I'm going to buy a truck, why I got to have a horse and buggy? You see how that goes? I heard a lot of people say, maybe you didn't hear this, but I remember back in the day, if gas goes to $1, I'm just going to walk. And gas went to $1 and they bought a Toyota because it gets better gas mileage.
A bug.
Little Honda Accord. My mom had one of them little Honda Accords. Looked like a little bubble thing. You know, it's the one that will... Well, they had that too. But they had the bug when I was little. They had the Honda Accord when I was old enough to drive. And that's the one that Wilt Chamberlain said, see, even I can ride in this. And here's this big 7-foot-tall Wilt Chamberlain getting himself down inside this little bug. But I remember. And they were like, I'm going to walk. Well, no, you didn't. You just bought a Honda Accord. And that thing got 42 miles to the gallon, man. 42 miles to the gallon. Now, you couldn't screw the tires. Well, I have two Accords and one Honda. Look at him. Just so everybody knows, Richard is not buying a horse. My mom, if you're with us tonight, Mom, I love you. Thank you. My mom told me, My mom told me when I turned 16 that I could drive her car, but it was a stick shift. And she said, but you can't drive it by yourself until you prove to me that you can, you know how to drive a stick shift. And so she would take me to this one hill where we had this intersection, and then you waited for the light, and then you went up a hill, and you went up a hill. She said, now I'm going to close my eyes, and if I can feel you shifting, then you're not ready to drive my car yet. And so I had to get real smooth with that shift, man. I had to get real smooth. And that was a 5-speed, and, man, you get that thing up in 5-speed out on the highway, and you get in behind somebody's tailwind where you didn't have no gas, you know, no pressure on you. You could get 45 miles to the gallon with that little car. Well, when I was a young man, that was good. That was good. It didn't cost much to go out with that truck, that little car. But anyways, how'd we get on cars? Let's get back to the message for tonight. The cares of this world. He who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understandeth, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You and I are the ones that are going to deal, that have to deal with the distractions that are in our own heart, our own life. And there's no way around it in the day that we live. You are going to be faced with the cares of this world. Think about this fact. Right now, we've seen Israel. They've been in a war all by themselves, fighting this vicious, wicked, vile enemy. And we've been watching it. And we've all been wondering, wow. Put some water on there. Richard knows how you make that happen. All right. So think about this. We've been seeing all this battle, that's been going on in Israel, very justified their response to what has happened in Israel. Very justified. You come over and you're going to rape and pillage and murder women and children? You are a vile, foul creature. You are demonized. And then have an earthquake. And then we have a fire. And then we have a volcano. And one thing after another. One thing after another. Every one of us have to look at it and say, how is this affecting me? You and I can see it. It's the whole world has become troubled by what's going on. And so you and I must live our life every day not allowing those things to get the best of us. And yet every one of us have to look at our life and say, wait a minute, have I provided a good enough life for myself that I'm going to make it clear through to the end? You know, did I work hard enough? Did I work long enough? Did I retire too soon? Why? Because in this day that we live, you and I got to make it clear down. We got to go clear to the end. And we got political leaders that are very, very obviously doing their best to destroy America and rewrite what America is supposed to be. We still stand here today and right in their face say, no, you don't. We the people. We the people declare. You cannot take away our freedom. And you and I got to say it, no matter what it looks like they've taken away. That's why, very specifically, we've been saying to you in this last, for the last 3 years, we declare everybody who's come across the border and the Mexican border that you come here and you decide, I want to be a good American and have a good job and a good life. And I'm not going to get involved in all the rest of that. I'm going to be a good American, and nobody's even going to see me where I am. I declare it right now in Jesus' name. Father, may the churches all over our nation reach up and grab a hold of these people and help them. I lost my YouTubers. Where'd you guys go? I lost YouTube. Well, I'm sure you do. They just disappeared from my screen. Now, that's all right. I'll find you. It's not hard to find you. I know where you are. Isn't that something? Where did you guys go? Welcome, Dan. Good to have you back. Here comes Dan back. Here I come back. There, we made it. Hallelujah. All right. How in the world did I lose out? Where did you guys go? All right. Everything's still in good shape. Now, what's the point of tonight? Jesus said, I have set before you an open door which no one can shut. No one. Say with me, no one can shut this door.
No one.
No one can shut the door where God wants you to go. Only you. And it comes down to being focused about our life. One person said, well, Pastor, how do you go change the world? Well, the first thing you change is you. You can't change the world if you yourself first are not changed and walking with God. If you're going to be a man of God to change the world, you first have to be a man of God. And you have to do what men do. And that's provide for your family, take care of your life, pay your bills, love your neighbor. You've got to be a good Christian yourself. You got to be a believer. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then every day, just make your declaration, I believe. You know, so many times in the past, we've heard people say, well, you ain't even going to believe this. Well, yeah, I am going to believe it because I am a believer. Get those words out of your mouth and become a believer. And then, you know, I know how it is. The first place we always want to go to is our family because we want them saved first. I mean, who doesn't want their kids to be with them? Every one of us do. But Jesus gave us the example that many times, our family doesn't listen to us because they watched us grow up. It's okay. Jesus' brothers and mother came to him and said, Jesus, it is time that you come home. You are out of your mind. Wait. The mother of Jesus that we read the story from my mom about how beautiful Mary took care of me. At one point in his ministry said, Jesus, you need to come home with us. And Jesus, remember what Jesus said? Who is my mother and my brother and my sister? And who were they? Those who do the work with me. And then he invited his mother. He invited his brothers. Come and be with me. And by the end, they were with him. But there was a period there where they were not with him. And they tried to get him to change. Have you ever been there? I'm not going to tell your stories. And I'm not going to tell mine because all my family are still alive. And that ain't right. No. You and I have got to do the work that God gave us to do, no matter who understands it. And you know what? And then that's why I'm so focused on that prayer in Job chapter 33. Because every one of us can pray over our family every single day. Father, give them a dream, a vision, a revelation. And then what happens? Without you preaching in their face, they reach out and find out who God is. And then when they find out who God is, then we all walk together in simplicity and in love and in victory. Say it with me. I'm walking together in simplicity and love and victory. See, Jesus said, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. I am he that opens and no man closes, and I am he that closes and no man opens. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Paul thought, the book of Ephesians, we are seated together with him in heavenly places. You and I are. Now, I want to grab a couple more verses. Look at this. We know Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Well, that's the part of our statement is 2024, the year of the open door and the abundance of more. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all. How many of you know that's not just a little dabble, do you? That's a serious, abundant blessing. You know, over and over through the last 30 years of my life, I've watched the great leaders, the men of God that I follow, and I thought, well, you know, yeah, you're being blessed, but how about anybody around you? And then you go find out about them. Everybody around them is out of debt. Everybody around them lives in abundance. Every one of them around them have investments in things. Why? Because they learn to do the principles of God's holy word, which is speak to the mountain, be removed, sow a seed, and then stand in the faith and reap the harvest from that seed. And now, when it comes offering time, they ain't saying, another offering, like, give us another reason to give. And bam, look what happens. Every one of the men of God that we follow during COVID, their ministry almost doubled. During COVID, Why? Because it's a ministry of faith that looked at the mountain and said, be removed. What is it that Dr. Barclay's done? It's like $6 million, isn't it? I think it's like $6 million since the beginning of COVID, since 2019, that this church has, of their, pretty much of themselves, and they're not a big church, only about 700-800 people, have come together and sowed abundantly, and have, they build a new child's wing, they build a new administrative building, and building a new gymnasium that is like a gymnasium and a fellowship hall and everything, and they're building it, and look it, and it's all been cashed since 2019. Why? Because we're people of faith, and we say, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's worked within us. Now, let's grab one more verse. Yeah, maybe two. How are we doing for time? 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me, a great and promising one. And there are many adversaries. Look at that verse. 1 Corinthians. Where did my Bible go? Where did my Bible go? 1 Corinthians 16. I'll put it right up on the screen. Why don't you see this? 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. What did Jesus say? I have set before you an open door which no man can shut. Now, just look at what it says. Let's see. Verse 5. I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. I mean, what's Paul saying? I'm going to come that way, and you're going to see me. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. So, this is an old man. And he's saying, I want to come out there and see all y'all. And what, is he going to ride a donkey? Is he in a cart? What's he going? He's an old man, and he's on his feet. It says, a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Well, what are the adversaries? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, and the persecution that comes, that because you're speaking the word and doing the word. Let's just look at it real quick. Mark chapter verse 29. Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospel. And we've got double negative. It says, who shall not receive? But it really is what it's saying. You will receive a hundredfold. Look at the word now in this time. Listen, he didn't just say now. He said, now, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. What did we just read in Matthew? Persecution comes for the word's sake. The persecution is going to come to you for the word's sake. Why? The devil don't want that word to get down in your heart and get a root, and you begin to give the word to somebody else and change their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now listen, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Don't look at this and say, no, Pastor. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Well, it's not only meaning he left the glory of heaven and came to this earth, that's poverty in itself, and then became a baby in the womb and grew up as a man. He literally said he had to make a choice to lay aside his divinity and become a man. In this, I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Have you been saying, I want to get house paid off? That's good. You have bills, you have like credit cards, which got charged way up. You have a note on your car and you don't want to have to keep paying that note. I mean, in the day that we live, guys, you need to be as debt-free as possible. Brother Copeland has been saying for quite a few years, you need to get out of debt. You need to get out of debt as quickly as you can get out of debt. Why? Because of this earth is so unstable. I mean, at any moment's notice, somebody make a dumb move, and we can all be sitting wondering what's going to go on for the next 3 months. And you and I have got to be able to have a way to carry that out. So what does God say? Be debt free. Owe no man anything but to love him. Maybe that's one of your goals for this year. I want to pay my house off this year. I love the story of Brother Jesse. One lady in his church, she said, you know, they started out at the beginning of the year. I want to pay my house off this year. And she owed like, I forget, was $100,000 on her house. And she stood in faith. She sowed the seed. She spoke the word of God all year long. It's New Year's Eve night. It's New Year's Eve night at church. And she's in the New Year's Eve service. And Brother Jesse says, you know, where are you, Sister Sue? Whatever her name was. She stood up. He said, how much do you owe on your house? She said, $100,000. He said, no, I said, how much do you owe on your house? Like, $100,000. He said, no, I said, how much do you owe? She goes, oh, it's paid in full. He goes, yes, I'm doing it. And paid her house off right there in the church. She used her faith. She walked it out. She had the word from God of what he was going to do, not what somebody else's story was, what he wanted to do for her that year. She stuck to her stuff. And on the last hours of the day, God came through, paid that off in one chunk. And now she has a debt-free house. Pastor, I never even heard anybody teach this. Well, that's because we took the vow of poverty. That's not in the Bible. Jesus said, anyone who gives a father, mother, sister, brother, house, and land for my sake in the gospel, any of you that have come here and given of yourself to help us get this work done that we're doing right here, you have a hundredfold return that is waiting for you. It's stored up in heaven for you to use on the earth right now today. But it only comes by faith. As soon as the enemy sees that hundredfold moving through you, moving to you in the realm of the spirit, he's going to throw up every roadblock, persecution, and confusion, and care of the world to stop it, because he don't want you to have the testimony, this is paid in full. But guess what? All power, all authority, all might, all dominion, all strength is given to Jesus, and he lives in here. I encourage everybody that's here, start attacking debt or lack that's in your life. Attack it. Get out of my life. I have more than enough to do what I need to do. And maybe you got it. Maybe you have a car. Maybe you want a new car. God's into new cars. He really is. I'm trying to get done, and I keep getting that Missouri folk out here saying, show me. All right. Well, I will show you, because I know where to look. Once you get this down inside of you, you know where to look. Look at this. Mark 11, 22 through 26. And this will be our last verse. Can you please use your faith with me that this will be our last verse? No, wait, I want to share this screen because I want you to see it. I love this situation. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Look at this verse, 11:23. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says that this mountain be removed and cast in the sea does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says about holiness. That's not what it says. Well, but it's whatever he will says about the will of God. No, it says he'll have whatever he says. Look at 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you believe, when you pray, believe that you receive them things and you will have them things. What's a thing? That's a thing. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, oh, forgive him, that your heavenly Father will forgive you. Now, people have a problem with things. But when you see what Jesus taught about things and what faith dealing with things, whatsoever things you ask when you pray just means whatsoever things you ask when you pray. Quit trying to put some weird doctrine on it that just isn't there. Now watch this. I told you it was the last verse, but I still got some show me. So let me get down here. Hey, where'd my verse go? That your joy may be full. Isn't that John? John chapter. Let me look at my Bible here. Ask that your joy may be full. Right? It's in 14. I don't care what they say. It's in 14. Thank you, love. 16. All right. Let's go there. Isn't that something? How you just are determined, no, it's this one. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Now watch this. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Look what it says. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Well, Pastor, that's just talking about salvation. No, it's not. It's talking about every part of your life. How do you have more joy than every debt paid in full? How do you have more joy than to have peace in your family and happiness in your home and love with your children and the ability to go do anything with them at any time you want to, and everybody be taken care of? That's joy. Think about it. Think about when we come here and say, help us help these people, and you're able to just abundantly bless and give. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask something in my name, and you will receive it, that your joy may be full. There's a whole lot of people that try to put something else in it, but you should just stop trying to add words to Jesus. The 92nd lady showed up. Has it been that long already? How does that clock go so fast? Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is the last prayers of Jesus. I really wish you wouldn't talk
like that. I know.
These are the last moments of Jesus' life before his crucifixion. And he just said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, he's not going to give you sin. He's not going to give you wickedness. But he is concerned about every area of your life. Did you see that next set of verses show up? You have to see him in the realm of the spirit. So go to Deuteronomy 28 and you'll see everything that God's talking about he wants to do to you. And I am not going to go preach those words tonight because that would take us into 4 more hours and I don't have 4 more hours. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about every part of your life. From the enemies that come against you, from the food that you eat, your livestock, your land, your houses, everything you put your hand to, you're going to land and not borrow. It affects every part of your life. And when we say, no, you can't do that, then we limit the Holy One of Israel. Mm-hmm. Say again?
I'm sure.
Thank you. All right, we've got to be done. Let me get back to my notes. Did I give us all the verses that we're supposed to have? Stop all distractions at the door. Run like you have never run before. I love this. Get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure. That's a good word about this year. That means it's coming so good and so strong. You're going to get up and dance, and you're going to give glory to God. Now, Smith Wigglesworth said, I don't ever let my body tell me where I'm at. I get up every morning and dance for 15 minutes before I start my day. Dance before the Lord and give glory to his name. That man seemed to know what he was doing, and it's a blessing. All right. Let's pray, and we'll be done. What a night this was. Are you ready? Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've spoken this word. Taking it right off this page as you've given it to me. Give me greater insight, revelation, and understanding. Help us take this and fine-tune it into people's lives so that they can be encouraged and challenged and blessed and walk with you, Lord. May every person here see and answer for their life. And Father, as we go about these days, beginning of this year, help us that we write out the plan you have for us for this year and what it is you want us to get accomplished. In this time of fasting, Lord, we set aside this time for you. We declare, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Mighty name. I declare the ability to see and know and understand comes to every one of you. Lift your hands and receive this in one way or another. In the mighty name of Jesus, revelation knowledge comes to you today. You will not only know the truth, but it will set you free. You'll have a boat full of fishes and loaves. You'll have a whole storeroom full of oil to sell, like the lady in the Old Testament. You'll have abundant supply of victories, and it'll take days to carry away the spoil because of this, what our Lord loves. You'll have greater righteousness and understanding of righteousness this year than you ever have before, because this is the year of the open door and the abundance of money. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. If you have not yet made a list of the things from last year you're not going to bring into this year, write it down. Write a list. Write a list. Rip it up. Shred it. Say, you're not coming in this year. And just make a simple declaration. I will leave that old life behind. I'm going into the new year. And then get out your notebook. Get out your sheet of paper. Get out one of these library cards. I always reach in here to grab one, and they seem to elude me. They're all the way in the back. Grab one of those. Write it down. Laminate it. Stick it in your Bible. Read it every single day, what God's going to do for you this year. And start right now, in January, at the beginning, and speak, thy will be done. A great door and effectual is open to me. I'm going to have life and life more abundantly. And just begin to do the work. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do so that you can have the greatest year you have ever had. I'm going to tell you right now, every year since we started has gotten greater and greater and greater and greater. Yeah. And 2024 is going to be off the charts for our lives of what God's going to do. Battle be there? Yeah, whatever. It's just battle. And we're going to take this word, we're going to proclaim it, and we're going to have the victory and say it. And may everybody see it. And may everybody see it. And may everybody see it. Guess what? When Zach got saved, everybody saw it. Right? And he said, I'm going to go give back to everybody. Everybody saw it. It's okay. Don't do it to be seen, but don't hide it when something happens. Rejoice in it. Hallelujah. 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 Did I start preaching again? Okay. I'm going to just stop and not say another word, and you do communion so it doesn't take us 45 minutes. I'm all right. You ready? Let's do communion. I'm really getting some good miles out of this share screen. I really like it. I don't know why it took so long to find it. Wow, am I glad it's here. I don't know what I just did there. Where did it go? Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Hold on. Let me just do a little desk work here. There we go. Communion prayer. Now, you'll be very focused and just read what's on the screen. Here we go. Get you some communion elements. Pray this, read this out loud in your home with me. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now pause for a moment. I know I said I wasn't going to do this, but when they brought the lamb to the priest didn't examine the man. The priest already knew he had sinned. What did the priest examine? The sacrifice. When you come here to examine yourself, what are you going to find? You're going to find a weakness that you don't like it that you have. But it's not about you. Examine yourself and say, Jesus, I need your blood. I need your broken body. I need you. And then look what it says. Let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's your desire for his sacrifice in your life that's what makes you worthy. I'm preaching better than you're staring, even though I said I wasn't going to preach. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. And now, the prayer of salvation. Maybe you're with us tonight and you've never been a part of communion online. And you're like, well, there's got to be a bishop or a deacon or an elder or somebody here or something. No, the Bible says, as often as you do this. We just read it. Pray the prayer of salvation with us so that you know your heart's right with God. I ask everyone to pray it because if you pray this prayer often enough, it'll be down in here and there'll come a point where you'll be able to lead somebody in this prayer. And you take communion with us often enough, you'll be able to do this from your own memory. And you'll see people and say, why don't we take communion together? And they'll say, yeah. And you'll say this, and they'll be like, how in the world do you know that? Oh, we do it every day at our church. Not to be seen, to be a blessing. Ready? Pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. You want to shout hallelujah? Hallelujah! Give it to Lester Summerall. I love Lester Summerall's hallelujah. Hallelujah! Like, oh, every demon in hell trembles. You got to get one too. Just shout it when you're riding in your car. It'll help you. Here's what's going on. Salvation instruction. Right now, Jesus just came in and darkness turned to light because the light of the world is now in you. Fear turns to faith because the author and finisher of faith just came to live within you. He just now made you into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Pastor, how in the world did he do that? I don't have any idea. I just know he did. And I know the experience inside of me, and it's like, woo! Now, you have become an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. And all of that just happened in the last 2 minutes. That's why on the inside, it's an experience that you can actually begin to describe. And people call it a feeling, but it's more than a feeling because you're being remade on the inside. Here's the verses. John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, Romans 8:14 through 17, Galatians 2:20. And then here is our contact information. hgpreacherman@gmail.com is my email. There's our website. Like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Now, you might say, yes, I don't even know how to do this. Walk with God. Walk with God. When you lay down in your bed tonight to go to sleep, just talk to him as if he's right in the room with you, because he just came and lived inside of you. Go ahead. Just talk to him like he's your father, because he is your father. Talk to him like he's going to help you solve every problem in your life, because guess what he's going to do? Help you solve every problem and give you victory. And it's in that process of communication with God, as if he's standing right here with you, that the abundance of his love just begins to manifest. Because what the Father wants, John chapter 4, he is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. We got lots of videos to teach you how to do this. Send me an email, send me a text. There's my email address. And we'll be glad to send you some great videos to help you begin to walk with God in Jesus' name. Here we go. Let's receive our communion elements. Hold your elements up and let's bless them. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplied in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me. This prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body broken. You endured the cross so we could be like you. And now we lift up this cup of blessing. Pray this with us. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price. Righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. Man, what a thought. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. Every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive this together. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood and its effect in my life right now tonight. Sing this with me. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says that after they received communion, they sang a hymn and went out. And, of course, if you ever want to know what they sang in the hymn, it was Psalm 118. That was the hymn. Quite a long hymn. But that's what they sang. Sister Phyllis, let's read the Ephesians verses again.
You like that, huh?
I like Ephesians. That's where we are and what we're doing, so glory, hallelujah.
Are you partial to chapter 3, verses 14 through 21?
Amen.
Okay, me too. Let me mark Revelation, though, because I forgot to do that the other day, and I felt really bad all the rest of the night because I didn't do it. Okay. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen.
Amen.
And I love that so much. I love that so much. I like reading the whole Ephesians. But now I'll go on to Revelation 1 verses 5, 6, and 7, okay?
Amen.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I declare over every one of you tonight that while you sleep, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you, unless you're Richard and you're driving all night, or me, we don't have deep sleep fall on us while we're driving. And the revelation, God seals his instruction inside of you, gives you an understanding of where you are. And you perceive what it is that God is talking to you about. Say it with me. I am your sheep. I hear your voice. And I do follow you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, there you go. That's it for tonight. Until we see you again tomorrow morning right here for prayer, this is what we have to say. Remember this? We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. See you soon. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Ms. Phyllis, we love you. We prayed for you before you came on the program.